This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
We want to thank God for our choir on this morning. We want to thank God for Sister Sharon Brown, who's been on voice rest for a good minute now, but that voice is still good. Amen. And we want to thank God for all of our choir members. So happy to see my cousin walk in the place, Joe Red. Amen. Many of y'all don't know that we're first cousins. And I thank God to see him here on today. Let us stand all over this place. God is good, and all the time he is good. And certainly we're happy. I see some new faces in the place. And I just want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that we're happy to see you here on today. And before we end this service, if you'd like to tell us who you are, we will give you that opportunity. Amen. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, and those of you who have been with us in Bible study over the past year, you know that our study is from the book of Acts, and we've made it as far as chapter 19. But this morning, I want to call your attention to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 22. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which has set at naught, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Now I want to jump down to verse 15, and you read the entirety of this when you get home. Verse 15 says, "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." Verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And finally, verse 22. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege. And God, we pray that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, God, that we might be more like you. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, ushers. I want to talk for just a few minutes this morning about evangelism. And that word gets a bad rap in many of our churches because we think that it means a lot of work. And most folk don't want to hear anything about evangelism. But my hope and my prayer is that you will receive something this morning that reminds you that God wants you to tell it. Amen. He wants you to tell your story. See, a lot of times we think you got to come deep and you got to know all Greek and Latin and Hebrew and all of that. No, if you're going to be an effective evangelist, a witness for God, all you really need to do is tell how he brought you out. Tell how he picked you up and turned you around. And then we've got to be willing, because I find that one reason a lot of us don't like telling folk about Christ is because we know that our own lives are not at 100%. And so we feel reluctant to tell others about Christ because we're fearful that they might point a finger at us and say, but you do this, or but you do that, or you talk like this, or you do amen. And so we don't tell it like we ought to. But how many of you are happy that the Bible says, by grace are you saved? Yes. Not because you've been so good, not because we've done it all right. It is the grace of God. And that's what we ought to be willing to tell people about. Y'all, last Sunday, in a real sense, was a blueprint for where we need to go if we're going to procure the future of our church. Last Sunday, I'm talking about back to school day. I'm talking about everything that happened here with D1 and the school supplies and all of that. Amen. If we're going to procure the future of our church, then we've got to make some changes, some positive changes. I want to thank again Brother Moore and the committee for my 30th year anniversary. I don't know who came up with the theme, but the theme was looking back and reaching forward. That was your idea? All right. Looking back, ain't nothing wrong with looking back, amen? But my daddy, Big Willie, when he was teaching me how to drive, he would always say that the rearview mirror is for glancing at, not staring at. In other words, your attention needs to be ahead of you. Now, every now and then, do I have any witnesses? It's good to look in that rearview mirror to see what's coming up behind you. But the most of your attention needs to be ahead of you on what's in front of you. And I want to say that last Sunday, again, was a blueprint of where we need to go if we're going to procure or secure the future of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Someone is looking at me and asking, Pastor, don't you know that people were here? Y'all remember the church was full, right? And somebody's looking at me and saying, Pastor, but do you know why the church was full? The church was full because we were giving away free stuff. The church was full because we were giving away free school supplies and free book bags and free food. And the church was packed because we had an internationally known rapper, D1, in the house. That's why the church was full. Free stuff. Amen. Y'all remember I told y'all, Dr. E.B. Hill, who was one of my favorite preachers, the late Dr. E.B. Hill, he told the story about how one Wednesday night in their Bible study, he said normally they have 20, 25 people. He pastored out in Los Angeles. He said normally they had 20, 25 people in Bible study, but one Wednesday night he got there, Sister Eberhard, and the church was full of folk. And he was just so happy. He was so happy that he exuberantly taught the Bible study lesson. And he was just thanking God. God is making a breakthrough. And he got ready to close out the Bible study and give the benediction. But before he could start the benediction, he said a man jumped up and said, when are we going to get the cheese? And Dr. Hill said, cheese? The man said, you said Sunday you were giving out free cheese. And Dr. Hill looked at the man. He said, if I knew free cheese was all that it took to get folk up in here, we'll give free cheese out every week. And Dr. Hill was kind of humorous like I try to be. He said, there were folk in alligator shoes, cuz. Amen. Talking about when we gonna get the cheese. He said, car folk driving up in Eldorados and Lincolns talking about when we gonna get the cheese. I know folk like free stuff. I know the church was full last Sunday because of the free stuff that we gave away. But I come by this Sunday morning to remind you that as believers, that as the church, there is my free cheese we give away every Sunday. Is there anybody glad to know that salvation is free? Come on, come on. Where are my folks who know you ain't got enough money in your bank account to buy salvation? Is there anybody thankful that your soul is saved and that you didn't have to get a loan? You didn't have to go to the bank to get money to buy your salvation. Somebody said Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. We just got to remember that we got some free stuff. Now, I know salvation is not ours to give, but we can help lead folk to what they need to do to be saved. Deliverance is free. Come on, come on. Healing for your body. I know you went to the doctor. I know your Blue Cross and TRICARE and all that kicked in. But at the end of the day, is there anybody who knows that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I'd still be sick? I'd still be in pain, but somebody can say, he touched me. Better yet, amen. Thank God you were able to touch the hem of his garment. Thank God healing is free. Deliverance from guilt is free. Deliverance from sin and shame is free. But do you know what the problem is? As believers, we just don't put the right value on that stuff. We forget how low down and dirty we were. And some still are. But yet you can say, I'm saved. And we forget the value of that. We forget the value of being able to go to sleep at night. Come on, come on, come on. I'm talking about peace. The Bible says that he will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm talking about when you got bills due, you don't know where the money is coming from, but yet you go to sleep at night because you're reminded that you serve a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And Reverend Monroe Harrison used to say that if he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, I believe I was going to get a ribeye every now and then. We forget the benefits that we have as believers. And you know, my problem with that is that I sometimes think that some of us aren't really convinced of our salvation. Because we base our salvation upon how good we are or how good we think we are. You know, don't nobody know your issue like you. Don't nobody know your hang-ups like you. And so we let guilt and shame consume us to the point that we don't really celebrate what we have in Jesus. Can I tell y'all again what the songwriter said? He paid it all. I said he paid it all. Reverend Harrison used to say, somebody asked Reverend Harrison, how do you define all? Reverend Harrison said, all is all. He paid it all. Now, if he paid it all, amen, yes, I'm trying to live the best I can. Yes, I'm trying to stop doing this and stop doing that. But at the end of the day, if I die right now, I know that my soul is safe because of my faith in Christ, because of his precious blood, because he paid a price that I could not. Where are the folk that appreciate salvation? Come on, if you really appreciate it, you ought to jump on your feet and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm saved. I thank you that you looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Thank God I'm saved. So we got some free stuff. But we just got to, number one, appreciate the value of this free stuff. And I think that when we appreciate the value of this free stuff that we couldn't buy, that we couldn't do enough to earn, we'll be willing, watch this, to start number one in our home. Because if salvation is really significant to you, if salvation really has value to you, then you certainly want your wife saved. You certainly want your husband saved. You definitely want your children saved. You'll want your grandchildren saved. As a matter of fact, amen, in times like this that we're living in, you want to make sure your neighbor is saved. You want to be able to leave. Thank God my neighbor is a pastor. Amen. And there are times that I'm out of town. I can say, Pastor, I'm not going to call her name. Amen. I'm leaving town. Amen. She said, don't worry about it. I got you. Amen. Amen. Make sure your neighbor is saved. And so we thank God for salvation. Our focus this morning, as we talk about evangelism, I want to start, and this may be a series, but I want to start talking about communication. Tell your neighbor, you got to tell it. You got to tell it. I want to specifically examine how to effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray we will understand the bottom line of evangelizing is to simply communicate and invite others into our story. God calls every follower of Christ to witness on a daily basis by using every means of communicating the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. Y'all, for evangelism to take place on a daily basis, watch this, we've got to take the church to the people. We got to take the church to the people. Amen, amen. When God gave me the vision for the back to school bash, one of the things that he told me, he put it in my spirit, he said, the week prior to the back to school bash, I want you to get your secretary to make some cards and put on all of the events on there and invite folk to come. And Sister Wilson made 200 of those cards for us. And I called Sister Denise back there, Sister Denise Robinson. I knew she'd get it done. And she got those cards, and Minister Wilson got the van, and I don't know how many people they had, but they went all around Leesville passing out cards, telling folk that we've got a back-to-school bash that's going to be taking place on Sunday, and it's all free. All you need to do is show up, amen, and get your free stuff. Get a good time in the Lord, and that is what evangelism is. We've got to take the church to the people. Thank God for billboards. Thank God for newspaper articles and radio and all of that. But the best way, and when I was in business in school, they taught us that the best form of marketing is word of mouth. You got to show up at people's door. You got to show up, amen, in people's neighborhood. And let them know that you're so concerned about them, you're so interested in them, you're so in love with their success that you will show up where they are. See, most churches are dying because we just want folks to come up in here. Thank God for those that come up in here. Thank God for those who watch us by way of Facebook Live. But ain't nothing like us going out into the highways and hedges and compelling men, women, boys and girls to come. Do I have a witness today? So evangelism generally is not bringing people to the church, but rather evangelism is taking church to the people. Y'all, it involves going out and presenting the gospel and winning converts. Because once they believe, guess what? They'll want to be around other believers. Do I have a witness today? And then once you go out and tell it, amen, the Bible teaches us, because sometimes we get, you know, we take it a little too far, because if they don't come, or if they don't join the church, or if they don't give their life to Christ, we feel like we failed. But what we've got to do, just do your part and tell it. Tell how he saved you. Amen, amen, amen. I wish we could have transparent believers. But I'm talking about folk who don't mind telling folk how they used to be hooked on alcohol. how they used to be hooked on drugs, how you used to be on the street corner doing what you do, but one day you met a man named Jesus. He picked you up and turned you around and placed your feet on. You gotta tell your story. And then do you know what you gotta do? Leave the results to God. The Bible says one plants, another waters, but God provides the increase. I said God provides the increase. Oh, that's shout news right there. Is there anybody in here in your own life who's watched God provide increase? When your money was funny and your change was strange and you didn't know how you were going to make it through or make it out, but you put that thing in God's hands and didn't he provide the increase? You ought to tell him thank you. We follow evangelism with discipleship. Then we leave the results to God. Now, I want to stress again the importance of you knowing that you've got to tell your story. Tell what you know. Amen. 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 Bold evangelism is about being willing to do the hard work in order to help people find Jesus. Turn off some mics until it stops squeaking. Amen. It's about being committed to building relationships with people. It's about being in the fight with the people around you and earning a right to speak into their life. Bold evangelism is about sacrificing your time, your money, and even your personal comfort if it means helping somebody encounter Jesus and experience his grace. Bold evangelism is about not giving up on people when it gets inconvenient, but about being committed to them throughout the entire journey. There are so many key principles found in this text for effective, bold communication of the gospel. Verse 13 says, the community took note that these men had been with Jesus. Yes, sir. Can I ask y'all something? How many of your friends, amen, how many of your family members, when you get home from church, amen, they can just look at you, they can just listen to you, they can just watch you and get an understanding that you've been with Jesus. Oh my, come on, thank God, amen, that I've been to worship, I've got my praise on. You ought not go home cussing like you left cussing. You ought not go home lying like you left lying. You ought not go home being dishonest and mean and unruly like you left. When you get home, the folk that you left at home ought to be able to look at you and say, surely she's been with Jesus. It's a difference, amen, amen. Said, these men have been with Jesus. We know when you've been to the hair salon. You come up in here styling and profiling. One of your sister girls ask you, girl, where you get your hair done? Ooh, that look good on you. And y'all know some folk be lying. You ought to have at least one friend that's going to tell you the truth. No, go back and... They know when you've been to the nail salon. Amen. You wouldn't go if you didn't think somebody was going to notice it. Can we be real up in here? They know, brothers, when we've watched or been to the college football game, because we're going to talk about our team. Amen. On the front of my truck, I got New Orleans Saints. On my license, I got Southern University. Because I want folk to know whose side I'm on. But how many folk know that you're on the Lord's side? Can I get a witness today? They know when we've been to the barbershop. They know when we've been to the mall. Do others know when you have spent time and been with Jesus? Look with me at verse 20. Verse 20, Peter informs the religious leaders that he's simply speaking about things he had seen and heard. These verses obviously refer to the Apostle Peter, but the text reveals a simple yet powerful truth for all believers to embrace. Yeah. We talk about the stuff that interests us. Yeah. Grandparents talk about their grandkids. Yeah. Some people talk about politics. Other folk talk about sports. When spending time to build our faith becomes a priority, the result will be speaking to others about Christ. Can I tell you what it did for me? Amen. I had this ache, I had this pain, and I tried the medicine they prescribed for me, and it didn't do me any good, but I read in the Bible where it says that if there be any sick among you, get to the elders of the church, and they will put oil on you, and you shall be healed. Is there anybody here who doesn't mind talking about the healing you've experienced in your body? Is there anybody here who doesn't mind talking about how God picked you up and turned you around and placed your feet on? Is there anybody here who's not ashamed of the fact that you didn't know how you were going to make it? As a matter of fact, you didn't know if you could take it. You thought about committing suicide, but you're here this morning because God came into your experience and showed you that with him you can make it. You ought to give him praise. You ought to give him praise. And so at the end of the day, all I'm telling you, Pleasant Hill, is that if we're going to grow beyond where we are, we've got to be witnesses. And let me tell you, don't confuse evangelist, you know, because y'all say, well, Greg Oliver is an evangelist because he goes and he preaches in different places. Amen. Yeah, there are evangelists, quote unquote, but we have all been called to evangelize. That's the Great Commission. Tell your neighbor, go. He wasn't just talking to the preacher. He wasn't just talking to the evangelist. He was talking to every blood-bought believer. Go into all the world and talk about Jesus. Tell him what the Lord has done. And one thing I know is that you will get enough boldness to tell folk what the Lord has done for you. You have a good opportunity of getting somebody saved. But you've got to be willing to tell your story. I don't know what your story is, but my story is that even as a child, I fell in love with a man named Jesus. I've got to tell you that at 13 years of age, I was in the Word of God. I would read the book of Ecclesiastes over and over again. And that's why a lot of stuff don't move, Reverend Garner.